Welcome to Good Friday, and this is our Good Friday message. And we're going to talk about a specific thing that happened on Good Friday, and we'll get to that in a little bit of a moment. But I wanted to start by asking a question. And the question is this: can you think of times in your life when you would like to have that time over? You'd like to do a do-over. My mind ran to, because I reckon the Brisbane Broncos would love a do-over of the grand final last year against the Panthers, the last 20 minutes. And then I thought about another sporting analogy. I played a bit of cricket when I was younger, and the do-over would be like, why did I play at that ball outside the off stump and get a nick? I could have just let it go to the keeper. Or it might be a little bit, there's a sporting analogy, or it might be, why did I pick that colour? Why did I paint the room that colour? I need a do-over because that colour looks so much better on the paint sample. It could be a do-over. I should have studied for that test. I should have studied for the test. Or maybe like me, you think back to your high school days and you said, should have studied. Should have spent some time putting some energy into high school. Love to have a do-over. Love to do that again. Or maybe it's a do-over where you look back and you think, oh, why didn't I give my all in that moment? Why did I hold back? Why did I just really give that a chance? Or there might be a do-over, might be, oh, gee, I wish I could say that again. I wish I didn't say that. If I had my time over, I wouldn't say those things. Do-overs can be a bit more serious. They can be things like, why did I choose that path? That addictive behavior that's taken hold of my life. I wish I'd never started it. Why did I give in to that? It could be, why did I parent that way? I wish I had my time over. Why did I leave that job? Why did I take that job? Why did I take revenge? Why did I take that shortcut financially? What was I thinking about that reckless piece of behavior? Why didn't I spend more time on this or doing that? We will have a lot of things in our life when we think of do-overs that we go, gee, if I only had my time over. We've been at Penrith Baptist, we've been studying Genesis chapter 1 to 3. And Genesis chapter 1 to 3 as a bit of a setting the stage for the rest of the Bible and the life that we live now, actually. But there is where you will find the ultimate do-over. The ultimate do-over. Why did I take that fruit? Why did I throw it? Why did I do not listen to what God had said? Let's have a look at it. Genesis chapter 3. And then we're going to talk about how this leads into our Good Friday message. But let's have a look. The Lord God, Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat this fruit, you are sure to die. Then in Genesis chapter 3, this is the serpent. The serpent says, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it, then gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open. They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. They sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Wow. That moment has changed all our lives forever. The ultimate the ultimate do-over. Adam and Eve would have felt it after it, immediately after it. They felt shame. They felt naked. They knew something was amiss. They didn't listen to God. That's the ultimate do-over. And a do-over is something that we want to do because it's changed something for us. I wish I had that time again. And we can't really do it because it's done. And so why we long for do-overs, why we long for those things is because what they do is they put a barrier up. And this is where the Good Friday message is going to come in. They put a barrier up from the life that we could have lived or we should have lived or we want to live because of a decision we've made or a practice we start or something that stopped us. And the barrier It starts in the Garden of Eden. Here's what happened. The do-over wasn't possible for Adam and Eve to go back. They couldn't go back because as a consequence of their decision, God was gracious. He got rid of the fig leaves and he clothed them in proper coverings. But their relationship with him was broken. It was strained. Their relationship with each other was damaged. And this is the barrier which was put up. We read in Genesis chapter 3, 23 and 24, the last part of Genesis 3, after sending them out of the garden, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. There was no do-over for Adam and Eve. There was no way back. A decision that they had made had placed a barrier between humankind and the blessed relationship they were walking in. Because remember, God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, steward the earth. They made a decision that put a barrier there. God is still present in the world. He's still present in eternity. But now there's a barrier between us and him. And we see this barrier through all of the Bible. We experience it right here and now. Through the Bible, there's tastes of God. Like Adam and Eve had tastes of God, but there was a barrier. One of the barriers, the famous barriers, and that's what the Good Friday message we're going to talk about today is, probably the most famous barrier in the Bible between God and humankind is called the veil. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 2 to 7 actually paints this picture really well. It's the barrier to the Holy of Holies. A barrier that, and let me just read to you Hebrews chapter 9. It really explains it really well. And this barrier came during Moses' time in a tabernacle in the wilderness, and then it was actually part of the temple. But it says this, there's a curtain, and behind the curtain was the second room called the Most Holy Place. In that room were a gold incense altar and a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered with gold on all sides. Inside that ark were a gold jar containing manna, Aaron's staff, that had sprouted leaves, and the stone tablets of the covenant, which is the tablets which Moses received. Above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover, the place of atonement. But we cannot explain these things in detail now. When these things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties, but only the high priest ever entered the most holy place behind the veil, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. Well, the veil, simply the Hebrew word for the veil, means a screen or a divider, a separator, a thing that hides. And what was the curtain hiding? Essentially, it was shielding holy God from sinful man because of the acts in the garden. Whoever entered the Holy of Holies was entering the very presence of God. In fact, anyone except the high priest who entered the Holy of Holies would die. And the high priest would only go once a year, as the book of Hebrews says. I want you to think about it this way. When I was working as an electrician, and particularly in what was called the Transformer Work Bay at Prospect County Council at the time, we used to put on this stuff called barrier cream. And what barrier cream, those of you who've been in the trade world and particularly in dirty spaces know what this is, but the barrier cream, you put the barrier cream on, and what it did, all the muck and grease and dirt from the work you were doing was actually shielded from getting on your hands. It was shielded from the body. And what you could do at the end of the day is you could wash your hands and your hands would be clean really quickly. You could wash your hands in water and soap. It would clean it off. If you didn't have the barrier cream, the muck and the grease and everything we worked on would actually just would bed into your hands. Well, that's kind of what the veil is like. It's not a great image, but it's kind of what the veil was like. The barrier to the Holy of Holies. The barrier was a holy God could not actually confront a sinful man. When that decision was made in the garden, it separated human beings from God. It was a barrier. It was the barrier to eternal life. It was a barrier to hope. It was a barrier to a holy God. It was a barrier that you couldn't get back to rectify things of the past. It was a barrier which was put there by sin. The temple veil was a barrier. And it was designed to actually say we cannot enter the holy presence of God because of the decisions that we have made. And Good Friday is all about removing that barrier. But before we get to that, I call that the breakthrough. So there was the barrier, but then in Good Friday we have the breakthrough. And what I would like to call the Christ do-over, if you like. But before we get there, do you feel the barriers? When you think about those do-overs, can you feel the barriers to the life that we're meant to live? Can you see, maybe you can even see them, broken relationships, missed opportunities, destructive behaviors from ourselves. Have you felt the barrier? Have you felt the barrier from the life that we should be living? Have you cried out to God from time to time? My God, why have you forsaken me? They're the words of Christ on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He cries those words out. They're a fulfillment of the Old Testament, a fulfillment of the Bible, but they're also cries the word, he carried the sin of the world. He carried all those things that we wish we could fix and repair and which we can't because there's a barrier to getting them. He carried it all. When you say, where's God? We feel that. It's because there's a barrier. But Jesus brought a breakthrough. And we see it ultimately in the resurrection and ultimately when he comes again. But we see the beginnings of it in these verses that we remember on Good Friday. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain or the veil or the barrier of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he said this, he breathed his last. That is recorded in three different, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The temple veil was torn in two. The barrier to a holy God was ripped apart. Put up a video yesterday on the veil being torn. You might want to go back over Facebook and have a look at it. And I read these words just this week as I was thinking about this. Only God could have carried out such an incredible feat because the veil was too high for human hands to have reached it and too thick to have torn it. Do you know, they say the veil was about 4 inches thick. The Jerusalem temple, a replica of the wilderness tabernacle, had a curtain that was about 60 feet high, 30 feet in width, 4 inches thick. And it was torn from top to bottom, meaning this act must have come from above. You see, Jesus broke through on Good Friday, broke through to our world. He took on our sin. He died. He started the do-over. He is a veil tearer and he is a stone remover. I find it really interesting that who would have been there in and around the veil? The Pharisees, the priests, not the disciples. They weren't there. Not the crowd. They weren't there. Who was when the stone was rolled away? Who was there? The Romans, the very people that put Jesus to death on a cross and guarded the tomb, were the witnesses of God's divine act, where God moved in power. You see, the temple veil could not be torn from bottom to top. It was deliberately written in the scriptures that it was torn from top to bottom, 4 inches thick, 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, to break open, for us to break through into the Holy of Holies. Suddenly we can be accepted into God's presence, that the barrier has been broken. Through Jesus, God broke through the curtain. This veil that shielded man from God, this thick curtain, was Israel's history. And Jesus' sacrificial death changed it all. Jesus broke through. Hebrews, let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews, if you read Hebrews 9, it's amazing. Hebrews says this in chapter 9, verses 24 to 26. For Christ did not enter into a holy place with human hands, which is only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. And he did it. He did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again, like the high priest here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. Jesus became the high priest. So in the old system, the high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement, would go and make a sacrifice for the people to shed blood meant giving life to the people of Israel. Jesus became that sacrifice, the Lamb of God, we read. Once for all time. And by a supernatural act of God, the temple veil was cracked in two. The do-over was complete. The do-over from the Garden of Eden was complete. But it wasn't by us. And it wasn't by Adam and Eve. And it wasn't by anyone else. It wasn't a sliding doors moment, which was an old movie about alternative realities. It wasn't suddenly we got exposed to an alternative reality. The do-over was a salvation. The do-over was a redemption. It wasn't going back and making a better choice. It was a salvation from the choices that we made. I love these words that I read this week as well. As the veil was torn, the Holy of Holies was exposed. God's presence was now accessible to all. Shocking as this may have been to the priests ministering in the temple of that day, it is indeed good news to us as believers, because we know that Jesus' death has atoned for our sins and made us right before God. The torn veil illustrates Jesus' body broken for us, opening the way for us to come to God. As Jesus Christ, it is finished on the cross. He was indeed proclaiming that God's redemptive plan was now complete. The age of animal offerings was over because the ultimate offering had been sacrificed. Again in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, it expresses Christ's do-over wonderfully. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. Wow, Jesus has wonderfully done this do-over that we can now trust our God. We can walk in that new relationship with him. The place where Adam and Eve were, listening to God, being obedient to him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ's do-over means, even when we think of those regrets that we started this message with, those past falling short, those past, I wish I had done it better, we can be comforted by these words when we look at that past. That past can be redeemed, not redone, redeemed. Because we read in Hebrews 4, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. He didn't need to do a do-over. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. When we reflect on our life, when we think, I wish I could do that again, we can't do a do-over. We can't. But we can be redeemed. We can boldly, I love it. We can boldly, let's go back to those, boldly go to the throne room of our gracious God, where we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace when we need it most. I want to finish with a verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person and they with me. It's another image of a barrier. Only this time, Jesus is saying, let me in. You see, when the curtain was drawn in two, it wasn't just about us getting access to God. It was about God having access to us. There's still a choice to be made. There's still a choice to say, I have gone my own way. I have a life full of regrets and do-overs and things that I should, that have shaped me. And I need your salvation. I don't need to redo. I need to be redeemed. And I turn to you. I love that Revelation 3 image because it's the image of intimacy with God. I will eat with that person and they will eat with me. I will commune with that person and they will commune with me. If you're living with a life of regrets and a desperation, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I had have done that. Or you've just, I wish I hadn't have taken that revenge. Or I wish, if your life is lived in that space, we can't do do-overs because we can't go back in time, but we can be redeemed. And that ultimate do-over that Adam and Eve would love to have gone back and done, we've got Jesus coming and removing the barrier to be present with a holy God again by his grace because of his love. So that moment when Adam and Eve had the first barrier put up out of the garden, God was working on the do-over plan. And he didn't get us to do it. He sent his son. And when his son breathed his last, that temple veil was ripped open by the supernatural hand of God. At the resurrection, the stone was rolled away. And you'll hear Scott speak about that on Sunday. The stone was rolled away at the hand of God. And I encourage us all to follow the example of the disciples who just were restored and commissioned and live the rest of their days proclaiming the Lord's death until he, Lord's death and resurrection until he comes again. That's what communion is all about. That's what our lives should be all about. That's what we're invited into. Let's pray about our regrets, our do-overs, and let's accept this incredible gift to commune with our Saviour. Lord Jesus, help us to stop trying to reconstruct our past, to help us to stop get wallowing in our do-overs, or help us to stop living in regrets and to acknowledge that you come to redeem us, to save us, and to set us on paths of righteousness and holiness and joy and peace and extraordinary directions that you have set before us as we put our trust in you. Forgive us for trying to do things our own way. We see a whole Bible filled with people trying to do things their own way, and we've done it ourselves. We've all fallen short. But Lord Jesus, we thank you that you became sin, that we might be made right with God. And we love you. And this is a Good Friday, a day of victory, a day of restoration. And we accept that gift with humility and thanksgiving. And the idea of being to boldly come into the throne of grace, we struggle with boldly, but We thank you that that's the invitation, because it's in Christ. It's no longer the we that live, but Christ that lives in us. Thank you, Jesus, so much for all, for our salvation, for our life. Amen. Join us again Easter Sunday, where Scott will talk about the stone being rolled away. He's a stone mover and he's a veil tearer. See you later.